pray with me. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master, Dearest Mother, Saints and Sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple. Make my heart thy altar. Make my love thy home. Be thou the only King. Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Some funnies that Kathy Kelly sent to me in the email about children in church. After church service on Sunday morning, a boy suddenly announced to his mother, "Mom, I've decided to be a minister when I grow up." "That's okay with us, but what made you decide?" "Well," said the little boy, "I have to go to church on Sunday anyway, and I figure it'll be more fun to stand up and yell than to sit and listen." A boy was watching his father, a pastor, write a sermon. "How do you know what to say?" he asked. "Why, God tells me." "Oh, then, why do you keep crossing things out?" A little girl became restless as the preacher's sermon dragged on, and finally she leaned over to her mother and whispered, "Mommy, if we give him money now, will he let us go?" After the christening of his baby brother in church, little Johnny sobbed all the way home in the back seat of his car. His father asked him 3 times what was wrong. Finally, the boy replied, "The priest said he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I wanted to stay with you guys." Terry asked her Sunday school class to draw pictures of their favorite Bible stories. She was puzzled by Kyle's picture, which showed 4 people on an airplane. So she asked him which story it was meant to represent. "The flight to Egypt," said Kyle. "I see, and that must be Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus," Mrs. Terry said. "But who's the 4th person? "Oh, that's Pontius, the pilot." The Sunday school teacher asked, "Now, Johnny, tell me frankly, do you say prayers before eating?" "No, sir," little Johnny replies. "I don't have to. My mom is a good cook." Pastor Dave Charlton tells us, after worship service at First Baptist Church in Newcastle, Kentucky, a mother with a fidgety 7-year-old boy told how she finally got her son to sit still and be quiet. About halfway through the sermon, she leaned over and whispered, "If you don't be quiet, Pastor Charlton is going to lose his place and he'll have to start his sermon all over again." It worked. A little girl was sitting on her grandfather's lap as he read her a bedtime story. From time to time, she would take her eyes off the book and reach up to touch his wrinkled cheek. She alternately stroking her own cheek, then his again. Finally, she spoke up, "Grandpa, did God make you?" "Yes, sweetheart," he answered. "God made me a long time ago." "Oh," she paused. "Grandpa, did God make me too?" "Yes, indeed, honey," he said. "God made you just a little while ago." Feeling their respective faces again, she observed, "God's getting better at it, isn't he?" So lovely. Reading from Paramahansa Yogananda and the Second Coming of Christ, Volume 2. Quoting from Luke 6, 43, verses 43 through 45. "For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt fruit bring forth a good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. and an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaketh. The physical nervous system. The human body is composed of three kinds of trees. First, the physical nervous system, which has its root in the brain and the trunk in the spine, the cerebral-spinal axis, and efferent and afferent nerves branching out from it as the branches, and the senses and the sensations as the end of the nerve branches as the fruits. This human tree of nerves yields good or bad sensations according to the nature of the individual who owns this tree of nervous system. When an individual administers the water of poisonous thoughts at the root of this tree of life in the brain, he produces fruits of evil sensations hanging from the branches of the different nerves. That is, when a person feeds his brain with evil thoughts, those thoughts create a desire for evil sensations, and the end of the optical branch nerves or the auditory branch nervous system becomes laden with fruits of evil sensations in the form of desires to listen to words of flattery or words of evil. Likewise, the tactual and olfactory and gustatory nerves are laden with fruits of sensual desire and sensations of greed. That is why it must be remembered that a brain that is fed with good thoughts creates a good tree of life with good habits and cravings for good sensations. Every tree of life has its roots in the soil of cosmic consciousness, and as such, the human nervous system has originally made to attract and enjoy good sensations. The man, through his freedom of will, has converted his tree of life into a bearer of fruits of evil sensations. Once a nervous system is changed so that it produces desire for evil sensations, it is very hard to change it. For the good nervous system will not produce fruits of desire for evil sensations, nor an evil tree of life produce the fruits in the form of desires for good sensations. Besides this physical tree of life, man is fitted with two other trees, the astral tree of life and the tree of consciousness. The astral tree of life with astral powers. The astral tree of life has its roots as the thousand-petaled rays in the brain. The Shushumna, cerebral current, is the trunk of this tree of life, and the fine currents branched out through the nervous system are the astral branches. This astral tree of life, being fed by cosmic energy, usually produces fruits of fine inner perceptions, which the advanced devotee can pluck and enjoy. As a person cannot enjoy the fruits of a mango tree hidden in a garden, so a person or a devotee who has not seen this astral tree of life with the light of ecstasy cannot possibly enjoy its fruits of fine perceptions. Some of the fruits of this astral tree of life consist in possession of miraculous powers of seeing visions which are true to life and of listening to sounds beyond the reach of human ears, of feeling touch sensations of the bodies of others, of smelling astral fragrance, of astral taste, of possessing the power to dislodge the astral body from the physical body, of lengthening or shortening the astral body. Behind this tree of astral life is the tree of consciousness. Tree of consciousness. The ordinary tree of consciousness has its roots in the intelligence in the brain. Its trunk consists of the mind, and its branches consist of reason, will, and feeling. It bears fruits of evil and good desires. When one feeds this tree of consciousness with the water of intuition springing from the foundation of meditation, then this tree of consciousness becomes entirely a good tree, bearing only good fruits of good desires. Hidden beneath these three trees of physical, nervous system, of astral life, and of consciousness is the tree of superconsciousness. Tree of superconsciousness. The tree of superconsciousness has its root in cosmic consciousness. Its trunk consists of superconsciousness, and its branches consist of superconscious perceptions, subconscious perception, and conscious perception. This tree of superconsciousness, when perceived, will be found to bear fruits of superconscious intuition and of subconscious spiritual dreams and fruits of good sensations. God can be spoken of as the root, and the cosmic energy can be spoken of as the trunk, and all the rays shooting out of this cosmic energy for the creation of universes can be called the branches. The worlds and universes of astral and physical constitution can be spoken of as fruits of the tree of cosmic consciousness. God originally planned that this tree of cosmic consciousness should bear fruits of good vibrations, but Satan put some poisonous sap of his evil desires in this tree of cosmic energy. That is why we find collisions, earthquakes, dissolutions of planetary systems, and so forth. Speech is our index. When Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh," he meant that speech is the index of the contents of the heart. The vibrations of an individual's speech, no matter how dressed up with polished language, contains the vibration of his inner tendencies buried in the heart. Hence, in the tone and vibration of a man's voice, we find the echo of his heart's experiences. A bad man may imitate the voice of a good man, but his evil heart will certainly vibrate in his pretending voice. So we must remember that the vibrations of our heart reverberate in the vibration of the voice. Through the tone of the voice of an individual, its vibrating mildness or harshness, we can recognize the nature of his hidden heart. The whole history of an individual as to how he lives his life within himself and his family is revealed in his voice. Also, the postnatal and prenatal story of one's life is written in the eyes of an individual. Those that cannot detect others' lives through their eyes can, by the perception of calmness, detect the evil or good hidden in the nature of an individual's voice. This is a wonderful reading on the tree of consciousness. Today's science is beginning to discover the various nuances of the brain. There are two main thoughts in neurology and psychology. One is that the brain and the nervous system are responsible for all thoughts, for all experience, for your life, for your ability to live and breathe and have your being. The other way of thinking is that the nervous system and the brain are instruments for divine consciousness to operate through the individual. There is much gathered in the way of evidence that shows how important the nervous system is in terms of being able to operate in this world. You have certain nerves in the brain are either stimulated or deadened, then the ability to move, the ability to think, the ability to feel is either enhanced or it is destroyed. But residing within, the spiritual sciences discovers that these are but instruments of action. The yogis talk about the 10 qualities of mind. These are based on 5 sense perceptions, the ability to cognize 5 different physical senses, and the ability to interpret that. And these make up the 10 qualities of the mind. When you have gone through the crucifixion experience of the physical and the astral bodies, still these 10 qualities of mind are retained. And that is the dragon that rises up out of the sea, as talked about in Revelations, and tries to reassert the Son of Man or the ego upon its throne once again. In order to go all the way through the crucifixion experience into the resurrection, those 10 qualities of mind must also be purged and purified. This is a long and arduous path for most individuals. Most of us come with a mixed nature. The aspiration for God, for enlightenment, is there, but also the desire nature for sensory experience is there. And back and forth we go, and living this life of living in the world but not of the world, being a householder yogi, is a terrifically challenging test because we are exposed to all the things that this world has to offer. And perhaps today, as in no other time, we are offered more of sensory stimulation. The quality of movies, the computers that are made, television sets, radio, all the various modes of stimulation keep this brain active in a rajasic state. There are so many today that aren't able to sit still even for a few moments because the brain is so enculturated into its constant action. It needs that sensory stimulus, and without it, it feels bored. Oftentimes you hear people say, well, I'm so bored. Boredom is actually a product of stuck energy. That is, we are all in a flow of energy, a flow of life. That life force flows through this nervous system and out from us. And because of that, we are able to have all the experiences that we have in this life. When we are in harmony with our own life, our own flow of consciousness, and we feel calm, we feel at peace, we feel the flow of that dynamic energy through this body, we feel the flow of thoughts going naturally and calmly through the mind. When we are out of tune with that, we feel anxious, we feel bored, we feel restless, we feel depressed, we feel a false sense of elevation, of excitation, and then we go for the other end of it, and we go down into a depressed state. These are all qualities of a system that is out of balance, a system that is not rooted in the superconscious mind and in cosmic consciousness. We are not taught, in general terms, how to become calm. We are oftentimes taught in schools and other places facts, figures, statistics, and this is considered an education. But without the addition of learning to have a calm mind, then all the facts and all the information that is crammed into the mind does not do us any real good, because we don't have any real sense of peace. We don't have any real sense of happiness. We're not taught how to live a life that is rooted in the superconscious mind. In order to do that, we have to inverse our normal attention that is focused on the outer world and withdraw it into the inner world. If we do not do this, then we are like the tail, or rather we are like the dog that is being wagged by the tail. Sensory stimulations take over. We respond to them, we crave them, we want them more and more. And there is no peace. There is no center within. We feel this terrific pull come upon us, and we feel out of sorts. We feel restless. We're always looking outside for something to satisfy those sensory pulls. In order to get real peace, real happiness, we have to turn within. And when we do that, we draw this life energy from the body into the spine. Whenever you meditate upon the ajna, focus your attention there. You start the process of reversing this outward flow of energy into the spine and into the brain. Just simply by focusing upon the ajna, by focusing upon the hongsa technique, or through chanting, or through deeply concentrating on the ajna, you bring yourself into deeper states of calm. Now the mind that is attuned to so much rajasic active energy feels that perhaps not much is going on. But if you can enter into that inner still state of mind and retain that, you will find that you have accessed the source of all life energy, all consciousness, all knowledge. And as that intuitive perception opens up within you, through that calm presence within, you begin to receive stimulation and information from the superconscious mind. You receive information that is not derived from books or from outside sources, but rather it is a direct link with the cosmic consciousness of which we are all part of, and without which none of us could exist. And yet how much of humanity lives in conscious awareness that our life comes from this cosmic consciousness? In order to grow spiritually, we have to turn the mind within. We have to become calm. We have to learn to enjoy that inner state. If we just meditate just for a few minutes and then suddenly we're sprung up and we're into action again, we get some benefit from that. But we don't get the fullness of that conscious experience. In order to get the fullness of cosmic consciousness, we have to enter into those deep states of stillness. Now in that place, our activity begins to cease. In other words, our individual will is completely focused on being in that still state. And if any distraction comes up, then we shift the mind from that distraction back to that still state once again. When we enter into that often enough, deep enough, that becomes an addiction, you might say, for the brain. But that is a positive addiction, because by being drawn inside in that way, we open ourselves to this interior world of which there are vast spheres of consciousness, of life, of understanding. It dwarfs what we have in terms of a human sense of understanding by incredible degrees. There really is no comparison. In fact, this, what we experience in the body and through the sensory perception, is but a very vague representation of this cosmic consciousness. The restlessness that we feel, the desire for happiness and sensory pleasures that we feel, are actually our desires for cosmic consciousness. We retain a memory of that cosmic consciousness that we once enjoyed, and yet we don't have the direct memory of that cosmic consciousness, and so we transfer that upon sensory images and experiences in this world. And we continue to tell ourselves that if our life gets just in such a way, just a perfect way, if we have the right situation, the right people in our lives, then we will be happy. But we see that that isn't true, that we're always on the lookout for something new. And once we have something, we're looking out for something new once again within a short amount of time. That restlessness can only be satisfied by entering into cosmic consciousness. And that can only occur by taking the time, making the effort to go within, to become still within. Not looking for experience, because that tends to activate that rajasic part of your mind. Just simply going within the stillness, presenting yourself in the stillness, and allowing the stillness, that still, small voice, to begin to speak to you. It can speak through feeling. You sense through feeling the next step, the next openness. It can come through inner vision as new vistas begin to open up to you. It can come through inner sound as these inner sounds of the Om or the ocean or the flute or the harp or the bumblebee all begin to dawn within your own consciousness. But these in themselves are not the end. They are just simply indications that you are on the right path, you're going in the right direction. In order to get the fullness of that experience, you must release the consciousness from this body consciousness. Now, that does not necessarily mean that you lose all contact with this body. There may be times when that happens. There may be other times when you feel that this body is but a shadowy reflection of your own consciousness. But you expand. You feel yourself expanding out into vast realms of consciousness. And at first, because you're unaccustomed to it, you may feel like that this is a dream, it is imagination. But as you delve deeper into that silence, you find that that reality, that inner reality, is more real than anything you experience in your external reality. That the information that comes to you in that inner reality is correct, is right, and you test it out. And through that inner perception, you begin to open up to that cosmic consciousness. And it can come in a myriad of ways. Really, it is unlimited, all the ways that Ananda can come to you. Ananda being bliss. It is the feeling nature of God. And through that Ananda, you can experience divine love flowing through your heart for all creation and all creatures. You can experience that bliss, that joy, welling up within your being spontaneously through no outer stimulation, for no outward reason. That bliss comes up. You can experience it as shanti, as peace within your soul. There are so many ways that Ananda plays with you, that it expresses itself through you, that it manifests in you and through you. It is something that is beyond description. The mind is accustomed to having some sensory experiences and then having that wear itself out. But with Ananda, it never wears itself out. It comes in ever new ways. And sometimes the mind will think, well, I've reached the end of this. This is what Ananda can be to me. And then suddenly, a whole new vista opens out before you. And you experience that Ananda bliss in a brand new way. In order to enter into that world, you have to make the effort to purify these three trees that Yogananda spoke of. The tree of the cerebral spinal system, within the physical body, tree within the astral system, that subtle spine of the Sushumna rising up through the astral heart and into the astral brain with its all-encompassing sixth eye or sixth sense, or the third eye, excuse me, or the sixth sense. And then releasing from both of those bodies into the cosmic consciousness, transcending all thought, all feeling as we normally think of it, all sensory perception, and directly perceiving that universal divine consciousness. Because there is nothing like it in the physical realm, it is said to be indescribable. We must enter into it in order to know it. And until and unless we are willing to make the effort to dive deep into meditation, into that stillness, then we will not have the fullness of that experience. And we deny ourselves a very shallow existence operating upon these five senses. Most humanity is satisfied with that five sensory experience. They don't look further or deeper into life than that. But for those of us who are called to that deeper life, then nothing else will satisfy us. Nothing else will lift us into that state of consciousness that we are yearning to have. Imagine for yourself to have that state of peace, that state of divine love, state of enlightenment, as your state of being constantly, perfectly, through all the activities of life. Underneath it all resides that cosmic consciousness, ever whispering its sweet bliss to you, ever expressing itself consciously, and knowing that you have an eternal self that is not dependent upon body, emotions, or mind. You have transcended all human experience in that sense, and you have entered into divine cosmic consciousness. It is for this that we were born, and it is for this that we should live. And the more purely we make that intention in our life, the more we bring our life into concert with those ideals, the more quickly we will advance upon our path. If we have continued mixed motives and mixed intentions, then we will get mixed results. If we want the ultimate result, purity of body, mind, and soul, so that we may enter in and retain that cosmic consciousness, then we must purify our intention. We must bring our full focus of will upon the divine and entering into divine experience. We will not have the fullness of that experience until that is the case. But when we make that intention clear, and we bring our full attention to that level of intention, then these three trees light up with a divine glow. And even as in Revelations, when John the Divine was lifted up in consciousness and was turned and saw the seven churches and the seven candlesticks, so will you be lifted up in consciousness. Will you turn within, and you will see that light that illumines your being, the light that is ever existent in you, the light that is your eternal consciousness. And those trees will be lit up even as a Christmas tree is lit up. And divine experience will be the presence that reside at the base of that tree. And you will be turned completely to the good, completely away from darkness. You will only resonate with the highest light within you. And you will no longer feel the draw to the outer sensory experiences as a despotic leader, the draw all unto its own self. And that is the way that the ego is. So make that determination within yourself. You are the recipient of your own decisions. You are not living according to some Father God who exists outside of you, who punishes you if you don't live according to his whim and his will. You live according to your own actions, and you are the recipient of those actions. And if you make those actions for the good, and you sow good within your consciousness, within your mind, within your words, within your actions, then you will reap that good. And if you sow negativity, and you sow desire nature that only grows and grows without any satisfaction, then you reap the benefit of that. And so you live this life according to your own rules. But you also reap the results according to the seeds that you sow. Make your fruit a good and sweet fruit. Purify the tree of consciousness, body, mind, and soul, so that you may rise into cosmic consciousness, attune yourself to the brightest light, the brightest star within you, and that you might feel that purity, that bliss, that superconscious state as your greatest possession, your greatest state of being. I can guarantee you, you will never regret it. You'll never regret making the decision, making the effort to go deeper, to transcend the things of the senses, and to live according to that higher law, that higher state of being within you.